That's what you've been working on the rest of the time, trying to get straight. Actions. Consequences of actions. And the reason why I bring it up to you like that is because I run into a lot of people, you know, you see some that say, woe with me, I'm doing like this, I'm had it like that. Hey, man, won't you come and go to church with me? Won't you come and, you know, fellowship with me or whatever? I would, but. Huh? I would, but. My job won't let me go, and I got tied up with whatever. I would, but, you know, I lost my legs at such and such a place, and this happened, and I don't have anybody to move around, and people do you like this. I would, but me and my wife ain't getting along, and this, so and so and so. Listen to this now. This is real. This is real. And the reason why I come to you is that the first real step into solving any problem is acknowledging that you got it. Consequences of actions or inaction. Consequences of action and inaction. Now I got you listening. Now you know I got to go ahead and give you one of me and daddy's stories. I got to give you that. You need to know. Listen. When I was a little fella, about 13 years old, I had worked two or three summers picking blueberries and cucumbers and raised enough money to buy me a buzz bike. At that time, it was a buzz bike. It had 20-inch wheel, had a little banana seat on it. Got that bike. I loved that bicycle. I really did. You know, and one day in the summer, truth, I'm not going to get me to tell you a lie. This is it. One day in the summer, my friend Douglas Johnson, my classmate, come over to the house, and he said, "Grady, let's go out down the highway to the schoolhouse." I says, "Okay." Daddy was at the house. He was getting ready to go on whatever run he goes on. He said, "Listen to this. Boy, don't go out there on that highway with that wheel." They called them wheels. That's what he called them. That's what him and Aunt Gert called them a wheel. I didn't never understand that because it was two wheels on it. But, you know, I would never ask that to him. He said, "Don't go out there on the road with that wheel." Yes, sir. Listen to this. Me and Douglas Johnson got on the bicycle. We went out to the schoolhouse. And he was talking about Highway 117. Knew exactly where it was. You could see it, the big one. That's the big highway for us then. That was the biggest highway we had through there at that time. It was still two lanes, but it was big for us. And we looked out at the schoolhouse. We rode around on the basketball court, rode up and down the breezeway for the cafeteria. That's Willard Elementary School. And then, of course, that highway got to call in our name. We went out there. And just as sure as grits is grocery, I got out there on the highway and Douglas Johnson passed me and the bicycle turned over flip and I broke my arm, knocked the wind out of it. I'm laying in the highway. Couldn't get up. Truck, tractor, trailer's coming, the whole 9 yards. Yes. Now, I got to be honest with you. The one thing that was on my mind is Dad said, "Don't go on that highway." I'm sure the situation looked more deathly than that, but this is what was on my mind. Mr. Bill Fillyall, which is supposed to be our cousin, come up in a truck from toward Wallace, pulled over and picked me up, put the bicycle in the back of the truck, and Douglas Johnson on the side, he's my buddy, he ain't no good. He's sitting over there on the sideline. He's sitting there looking at me. I'm laying on that highway and the wind knocked out of him. This is true. I'm telling you the truth. He ain't no good. You got to watch your friend. He ain't no good. He's sitting on the shoulder of the road and the truck's coming shooting around me and I can't get up. Wind knocked out of him. So Mr. Bill Fillyall puts me in the truck and takes me over to where Daddy was, where they hang out at. Lord help me. I knew I was in trouble. I stayed, you know, he got to pick me up and get me out of there. But I knew I was in trouble because I could hear it. When I'm laying there, I didn't want to lay my arm up. It twisted looking like an S. And it swelled. But at that time, I was so concerned about Mr. Marsha H. Stanford Jr.'s, you know, comments that I decided to reserve my cry until I could hear what he said. Let me just hold that. He stepped around the corner. As God is my witness, he was cursing. He we putting it? For he laid it on me. And from there to Berigo, what is that, 13 miles, Tony? 13 miles I had to hit it. To Berigo Hospital. Oh, my God. Now, that's better than any kind of whooping a man could put on a child, because, you know, he just put it down. The way Daddy got, when he got finished with it, he made it sound like I intentionally went out there and broke my arm off so I can just go out here and make him pay a doctor bill for no reason. He had nothing to do but God. Oh, he did. And the point, the man, you know, they fixed my arm the whole 9 yards and got it straight. And the doctor said, well, you know, I had to put the cast on it. He said, your arm, but where it was broke right here. He said, it'll never be straight. That's what he said. That's what the doctor told me. Fast forward, you know, God brought me through. I went into the military. I took my physical. And when I went through my physical, did the whole 9 yards. Lo and behold. He says, Private Stanford, you on your physical command? What kind of accident you had on your arm? I said, I broke it. He said, that's going to restrict you from certain MOSs. Certain jobs. Yeah, you certain jobs you ain't going to be able to do. He said, that's because one of your arms, one of your arms is bent. You know, it's kind of bent or never did get straight. And you won't be able to do a complete, they call it the rotation of it whenever you got ready to turn certain things. So he let me know what I mean. But it didn't bother me because the job that I was going to do, you know, anyhow. But the reason I use that and that story is true, you need to understand that, is because that was a consequence of my action. I chose to go out there. You understand that? I paid for that. And here in our message tonight, what I want to bring and talk about is us and the consequences of our actions, how we do business, how we do things, how we got to where we are. You know, we often, in our younger years, make decisions without considering the consequences of what it's going to be later on down the road. In fact, we want to be spontaneous. We don't even want you to know what we're doing. We want to just do it off the cuff. We want to make our decision without giving anybody any information on how we are that you can't predict me. Well, that's how people do. Yes, we are. In fact, we see it as a good thing. We want to be that person that can't be figured out. In fact, we want to be that BFF to everybody. I got that from my children there. They want to be that BFF to everybody. Just listen to that. What's that there? Best friends forever thing? Yeah, to everybody. In doing that, you got to change how you do business. In doing that, you make a decision. However, we find out later on in life that the decision that we made had consequences. It cost us. We find that the decision caused us to change plans for our life and our future, because what we had got into little, we're trying to be that, or keep him to be that BFF. Is that how you say it? Am I saying it right? Yeah, because that's part of my sermon. I need to make sure that's going in there. I'm saying that's BFF. Make sure he be my best friend forever. We then realized that the consequences of the choice was not an LOL situation. That's the laugh out loud thing. Is that what it is? Yeah, I got it in. So you figure out at that point that you have made a mistake in hanging with that person. That's what's going on here. This brings me to my lesson. As people have to accept that the majority of our lives are spent on decisions and choices we made in our earlier life. What we find is that those choices and actions have consequences. This is important because some choices make and can take a lifetime to correct. Now it's starting to change. It can take a lifetime to correct. I got a couple of more stories, but they're hard stories. Anyway. You see, we feel we know what we need in life when we're young. Can't nobody tell us nothing. That's how we feel. And you got children, you got to make sure that we get that out of them. That's worse than them having the flu. It's them thinking that they can handle everything. We feel that we know what's best for us. We feel that we can make it work if we just got our way. You know that we tell our children, if you just do right, and listen to this. This is what I tell my. We tell our children, if you just do right by God, don't worry about us. You got us covered. That changes the game on all that other stuff. It changes the game. And listen to me, I want to say. My point is that the life you have is determined by the decisions that you make. The life that you have is determined by the decisions you make. That you made before now. Some of those decisions may be bad, but some of those decisions change and alter your life for the rest of your life. They change and alter your life for the rest of your life. Without being too personal, let me give you an example. If you don't believe we all have made some decisions that we're not too proud of, ask yourself one question. If you had to live life all over again, is it anything that you would have changed? If you say yeah, which you will. You say yeah, you fell in the same hole the rest of us did. That means that you dealt with some type of consequence that you really and truly wished you hadn't got into. That's altered your life. You say, well, Grady, why is that important? Here's why that's important. It's because as we develop and grow up in life, what we try to do is adjust back to what we think is right. Like most of us would probably say, I got a handle on it. I'm going to change. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get this straight. What you'll find is at that age when we were young, not any of us, wasn't using Christianity as a point of reference for my decisions. Whenever you take God out, something else comes in. When you take God out, something else comes in. See, Christianity is like that. You see, before you find God in your decision, you don't include God. Your decision is set up to fail. It's set to fail. In every case afterwards, without God in it, you're going to suffer one way or another because your goal is set up for material things. You're going to have to give it up. You're going to have to get rid of it. Actions and consequences of our action. Because of that, we all have reasons and situations and life movements that we need to repent for. We do. Because of that. So when you come up to, getting back to my point, consequences of our actions or inactions. Here we go. Even as a Christian, if you put out something or somebody do something in front of you and you didn't say something, there's a consequence to you not standing up for God's word. What I'm saying. See, this ain't one of those individual type bullets. It hits everybody out there. You know, it bothers me. And the reason why I say that is because with my friends, they say, well, you know, great, I wouldn't go to church, but man, ain't nothing to do for me. I've been messed up this long. And you listen to that. And he tells you a story about his people and the churches that he's going to. And the first thing you got to say, forget him, the church is making him feel bad. God, Christians, now listen to what I'm saying now. Listen to what I'm saying. So what we look at and what we see is, oh my goodness, what happened to you? Well, this went on in so-and-so time or this, that, and other, and I was locked up. And that individual, and this is the good one. This is the one that get to me. I got one like this. His health condition gets so bad off that he lose. The first thing I got to get you to accept is that, listen to me now, that we got the problem. First thing I got to get you to accept is that you got this because of something you've done. We can't go past this until you understand this, because that feeds into you sitting there feeling shameful for yourself, sorry for yourself, pitying yourself, and not accepting that you don't have God, or didn't have God, or didn't make a decent decision. The reason why that need to be ironed out is because his hope, listen to me now, and the wonderful thing about God is that, you know, I say you can find peace. Until you really know what that peace means, you still struggling, because peace don't mean you're going to get your legs back. That ain't what that means. Huh? That ain't what that means. And we got to be able to tell him that. We got to, as Christians, we have an obligation. We got to get him to be able to see, if you're really where you say you are graded, how do you deal with this situation? Do you put your head in the sand? Do you walk away? This is one of your buddies. You see, I'm one of those people that like to talk. I cut the food. You know, you ever hear that term people say? He a people person. You know, I do that assessment every time my wife had me to drive her through one of them drive-through windows. I said, now, she ain't got no business working there. she should be doing some mess. She mad, going to her, all right, man. I'm just trying to get her fries. That's all I want. I'm a pay for. That's not a people person. But see, that's a term we couldn't understand. We always need to be a people person. You hear me? You need to be. Whether he's lost his legs, or whether he's getting ready to die for death, or whether he feel like he's inadequate in society. Until you get to that point where you can reach him or do that, you're not going to ever reach him. To do that, I got to get you to accept the fact that we're like this because of me. God knows what I could have been. God knows who we all are. But the real fact of the matter is that, trust me, the minute you started making decisions for yourself, you became responsible, whether you realize it or not. The word is that once you become in the know, you're responsible. You're responsible. You go drink liquor until your liver looks like a sponge. Listen to me now. I come to offer you hope and peace, but listen to me. I ain't sitting here lying to you. You took a part in this. I'm younger than you, and mine don't look like that. Older than you, brother. Mine don't look like that. I'm just saying, when it get to this, consequences of our actions. But the hope, let me tell you the hope, the divine hope on this, is that if you're doing it right, he's not looking at the material or physical relief. He's looking for the spiritual relief. That's what we got to shoot for. Consequences. For every single one of us suffers consequences of our actions and inactions. Every single one. And what we have to do to get back to that point where we deal with the consequences, listen to me now, and please bear with me. I'm going to finish up. I know you don't want to hear this. The first thing we got to do, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Huh? Didn't mention anything about getting your new tires for your wheelchair or whatever. Listen, this is what we need to do. Huh? See, we fooling people. We got to help. I mean, let's give it to them the way it's supposed to be. Let's understand it. I sit there and watch my brother, both of them, pass. Look, you can't go there and lie to them. I'm not a doctor. Leon, this is going to happen. It's going to happen to me, too, for something else. I don't know what it is, but we're all going to check out. Let's all accept that now. That'll make it easier when we get to do the whole thing to it. 34, say, take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Believe in Christ. Listen to me now. Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 16. He who believe and is baptized will be saved. You, your doctor, the guy that made the wheelchair tires, or whoever making lies and anesthesia legs and stuff, can't do nothing for him. other than what God's got in him. You give him new legs, he's still going to die. We got to understand that. We got to face it for what it is. Please don't get mad with me. I want to say, consequences of our actions. And the reason why I hit it like this, and I'm going through, I'm going to finish up. The reason we are where we are is because of the consequences of Adam and Eve action. That's why I read that like that. That's why I went on. Whether you accept it or not, and you can't get around it, you're going to die. You hear what he said? From the dirt you come, that's where you go. See, listen to me. Get ready. You're going to get dirty. You're going down. I might go before you, but you're going. And I said, because these are the things that we sidestep in reality. That's why we have them out there shooting ourselves, committing suicide. That's why they're doing what they do. You know, the first thing you got to understand is that, your greatest asset is your soul. That stuff, you're going to have to give it up in, huh? Man, I got a 600 horsepower ZL1 Camaro. I mean, it'll go through all eight gears from one end of the yard to the other. Somebody going to get that. Somebody going to get it. I'm making notes on it. Somebody going to get it. You hear me? That's life. And if you're looking at this thing any other way, you're wrong. Help me, you're wrong. So when it comes to us looking at this, woe with me, why this happens, the first thing you got to understand is consequences of our actions and inactions. We're in this. That's why the revelations is so important when we get to it. Repent. Acts 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Huh? It makes sense to me now. If we're real about this Christianity thing, if we're real about this, if we're really, truly real about this, not just trying to check out so the man and Jehovah's Witness don't meet you at the house. If we're really trying to get our soul stuff straight, you know, we need to really look at this from the right position. We're here because of the consequences of the decisions we made. That's why we're here. That's why it's going to be like this. And listen to me. God's word is going to go on. If I fall dead now, I fall off this stage, I'll make it, somebody else is going to preach it. I don't care what nobody say. My obligation is to for you and 10,000 just like you or whoever else or just them right there is for you to know that I'm going to heaven. If my chariot shows up tomorrow and ain't got but one seat, I'm looking at Tony and say, bye, I see you. The key is on the dresser. I'm gone. I've settled in my life that this is it. This is it. This is where I want to be. And when it comes to my children and when it's dealing with wherever they make success or don't make success, they get hurt or don't get hurt, I got to get you to understand the reality of life. My daddy used to tell me, and I know I keep drifting off. My daddy used to say, it ain't for you to know everything. What the song say, in the by and by, you all understand it better, in the by and by. My cousin I went to see yesterday, I went to help him. He's taking medication for what is that? Stage 4 cancer? What other cancer he got? Huh? The cancer. Prostate cancer. Good guy. They told him, and that's something else. You hear what I said? Good guy. If you were good, we wouldn't be in the scenario that we. Let me go ahead with this. I love my Clifton Murphy. I love him. Cliff said, great. They got me taking a hormone, I guess it's a female hormone, to drop his, what is it? Triglyceride? What is it? Not triglyceride, testosterone. Drops what did I just say? Testosterone, yeah. Drop it down so low that it will actually what? Starve the cancer. It won't, the PSA number's going down because they removed the prostate and it still got the numbers going up. He said, there's some side effects I got to live with. Because it makes him grow and stuff in the whole nine yards, the side effects, consequences of the decision you make. He said, now I could take, what is it, the chemotherapy and the other stuff, and they said the radiation. You know, this is for me. Look, this is great. Now, he come from a country place, but this stuff just tearing me out. I mean, he says, it's so bad that they don't want to shoot the laser in there because they'll damage other organs and stuff. And he had to make a choice. He said, Mr. Murphy, you make a choice of what kind of route you want to take. Listen to me. We all dealing and living from the choices that we make and we have to deal with. But the one that you need to look at and work with and understand is that choosing salvation or non-salvation. That's the one you got to look at. This other stuff, it may not be cancer, but it's going to be something else. Consequences of our action. My last point to you. Consequences of my action. The consequences of not choosing salvation is hell. You don't get nothing else. You get this out. Now you done lived the life you lived. Consequences of your choices. Consequences. Actions. Consequences. Inaction. You don't choose nothing. You're held by it. Remember what I said now. Just like this point. It's like a windshield wiper. Ain't no middle position on it. Here, or it's over there. So with that, we ask that you remember God's plan of salvation, be baptized, live faithfully, and whatever you do with it, you turn your heart over to God. We ask that you, if any of you now are needing prayer or would like prayer, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.